a few Goldilocks Bears podcast with Vincent Cloud
John Nemitz.
and David Lauer.
and this is where we talk about loves and hates and indifferences. But before we do that, we talk about old topics that we've mentioned before to follow up on or to add to in a segment we call Deja Fuse. So I'll go first. Napping. So I remember one time because I don't think I really nap a lot, but I remember when I lived back at the house, I was like, I don't know, freshman or something like that. And I had the whole house to myself and I was just like, oh God, it's really boring and I'm actually really tired, so I'm just going to take a nap. But I didn't lie down in my bed. I was just in the dining room and we have a couch there and I just, some books above and stuff, but like I just decided to nap. And then I woke up and I ran into a family member. They're like, oh my God, Vince, where were you? I'm like, I was taking a nap. They're like, we've been looking for you for like hours. And I guess they were calling for me and stuff and calling people and seeing if I was around or whatever. But yeah, I guess I just slept right through everything. So that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I'm glad you rebrought this topic up actually, because it kind of freaked me out when you told me that about like dementia or Alzheimer's. So I looked it up, and luckily I don't think it applies to me, because it said these are like extended, like 2+ hour naps that are correlated with it, and mine are usually like 20 minutes or less. But it still gave me pause, I'll say that.
We'll keep you up a little
Yeah, keeps me up all day.
bit. Yeah.
Do you remember if it was that's what gets you dementia is all those naps, or because you're
No,
going to have dementia, you have naps?
I think the latter, yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, because that would really suck. Like the poor cats in the world. Man, I gotta take a
Yeah,
nap. You
like me in
just
my
took
head,
one.
like when I think about that, I'm just like, it doesn't make any sense to me logically. I'm like, I'm not gonna shy away from naps because I think it's gonna give me Alzheimer's. Like, I feel like there's many other contributing factors that would matter far greater.
Yeah, like picking your nose. Have you heard that one?
No. Oh
It's
shit.
like
I'm worried now.
they're
Attention.
they're finding that there's a bacteria that gets like causes plaque on your brain, which can be like introduced through your nose and like picking your nose and stuff.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna have to wear like latex gloves when I pick my nose now. That's what you're
Yeah,
saying.
or at least wash your hands first.
Okay.
My gosh. I'm gonna be full nosed all day. Like trying not to nap. It's gonna be me trying not to pick. I'm like, no.
It's just
We're gonna need
like
those instead of a face mask, we're gonna get those clamps that like divers put on their nose, the swimmers.
Oh gosh. All right. Well, let's get the actual show started. I was gonna mention, John, you haven't started in a while.
All right. Well, I'll go ahead with my background image and talk about how I'm indifferent to sports movies. And the more I've been thinking about it, it's kind of sports dramas that I'm like more bored by. I think like sports comedies can actually be really good. Like Happy Gilmore, like Dodgeball is really funny. Like for comedies, it's just like, oh, here's a good framing device where we don't have to do any work to like build up the dramatic aspect of it. Like that'll be done through whatever the series of sporting events are, and we can just write jokes and stuff. But then again, I think that's kind of the same problem then that dramas have, is that like sometimes they also feel like they don't have to do the extra work to build a story, and they're just like, oh, let's just recount these sporting events. And like I definitely would not like seek out a movie like, oh, I gotta see this new football movie or whatever. But you know, some of them just you know, make the they make it up to like, oh, the people say this is a good movie in general, and then you check it out. And the reason it's on my mind is I've been going through a different movie podcast, and they did a series on sports movies. So watch like Hoosiers and Brian's Song, A League of Their Own, Cool Runnings, Chariots of Fire, maybe a couple other ones I can't remember, but like those were all they're all fine. Like I watched Cool Runnings when I was a kid, and I actually remembered a lot of that movie, just even though I hadn't seen it in 25 years. But then again, that has like a lot of comedy in it that is beyond just telling the story. Some that do kind of stick out as being more interesting to me. Like I was watching all of Sam Raimi's movies, and he did that baseball one for Love of the Game. And what's kind of interesting in that one is that it's framing like throwing a perfect or pitching like a perfect baseball game, but then like using that and then showing like events from the life interspersed through that game, which is kind of a interesting way to do it that I haven't seen a lot of stuff like that before, but
Wow.
yeah, at any rate, like they're usually like an okay watch, like it's entertaining and you feel maybe even emotional at the end, but I don't know. Overall, just they don't get me too excited.
For the Love of the Game sounds like Slumdog Millionaire. Remember, like, how it's all,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, there's kind of that kind of I don't know, framing or whatever you want to call it to it.
Oh shit, that's cool. Okay, but my big question is, you mentioned sports movies. Why are you indifferent to them? Is it because sports? How do you feel about sports?
I mean, yeah, I'm certainly mostly indifferent to sports as well. You know, I've never been good at them, and never cared to try to be. So that could be a big part of it as well.
Any okay, Dave, you go ahead. Actually, I have to gather some
Like
thoughts.
I love sports. I love football and baseball and basketball, like just professional sports, not really college sports. But I love sports, and I'm totally indifferent to sports movies too. They're it's kind of similar to what you said. Like there's no movie that's just about sports that's really good. It has to be a good drama or a good like love story, like Jerry Maguire. It was like a good love story, but then like sports were like the background of the movie. Like my favorites, there's like some really good sports comedies, but it's like, is it great because it's a sports movie? No, it's like it was great because it was Adam Sandler playing golf and you know, I like Happy Gilmore or Waterboy. Like those are like my favorite sports movies, but it's you know, the sports are always kind of secondary to the like what's happening in the movie. But I think my favorite sports movie that's like a drama is Foxcatcher. It came out in like 2016 or something like that, 2017. And it had Steve Carell, Mark Ruffalo, and Channing Tatum. And it's based on a true story of this guy, this DuPont, which is like an oil company or something. And he's some like multi-millionaire billionaire who like sponsors the Olympic wrestling team in like 96, I think. And he did some terrible stuff. Like I knew nothing about the story when I watched the movie. So I really enjoyed the movie. So I'm not going to spoil anything, but it was a really good movie. It was really well acted. But even though it's about people involved in like Olympic wrestling, it's more about like the characters themselves you know, just the same reason why like Rocky was good. It was like, yeah, but like if you just watch the fight scenes in Rocky, you're like, I don't know, it's kind of corny and cheesy, you know. You need the drama.
Yeah, and I kind of felt like almost the opposite with Apollo, that like those fight scenes I thought were like filmed like phenomenally, and like I was actually really excited to watch those, and then like the story was good, but I didn't get super into it with Creed.
Yes, that's right. You called him Apollo like you knew him.
Whoops.
He was what was his name? Adonis Creed or something like that, right?
Oh yeah, that whole time I meant the movie Creed, sorry.
That's fine. I love Rocky One. I barely think of it as a boxing movie because there's so little boxing, but it is all about him. Like, I want to go the distance. You know what I mean? You know. The director of Foxcatcher made another very good sports movie, Moneyball. They somehow made dealing with numbers and statistics and baseball interesting. It is like, I highly recommend that movie. And I was like, wait, Brad Pitt is charming and Jonah Hill's cool. And like, yeah, I just love that movie. Very unusual pace, that director. Because I find baseball
Yeah, that's
fucking
really
boring.
good.
Yeah.
Baseball is definitely an acquired taste. I didn't like it when I was younger. It took until like I was in my 30s until I actually enjoyed it. But yeah, Moneyball is actually a great sports movie. That might be like one of the best, because it doesn't really venture outside of the stadium or the offices at the stadium. It's just solely focused on scouting and team building.
Dave, I gotta say,
that's true.
I was just gonna mention that Dave's mic is like closer to the screen than it is to him. Is this just for looks, Dave? You've done that before. You just
yeah,
said it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I can hold it like this.
Oh my god, that's so much better. I don't want you to have to hold it though. Do you got something? All right. I'm sorry. Go ahead, John.
I just feel like when the pinnacle of the movie is like, do they win that race or do they win that game or whatever, it's just kind of cliche. Whereas like something like Moneyball, it's like, okay, this is about like changing the way baseball teams are run, which is like way, way bigger than that.
For sure. And I have played a lot of sports. I do okay. You know, I could physically kind of keep up and stuff, but really it's boredom. You know, like baseball is just boring. You know, it's too, you know, basketball is just running. Like, that's all it is to me. It just like, go to this side of the court, go to the next side of the court, keep doing that for fucking ever. You know, to me, it's just like, this is kind of lame. It's not very exciting to me, you know? So I gotta say, Any Given Sunday though, that's an Oliver Stone joint, and that is probably my favorite, one of my favorite sports movies. Great cast, Jamie Foxx, Al Pacino. It's awesome.
Yeah, never watched that one.
I have a movie idea for you, Vince. Or actually maybe a question. Have they ever made a badminton movie?
Oh my gosh. A badminton movie.
And who would you cast in this movie?
I don't know, but I'd call it Good Mitten. Just kind of like Goodwill Hunting or something. And who would I cast in it? Man, there's not a lot of like well-known badminton players at all. I don't know. Maybe Michael Cera. So you get the super bad mitten. Yeah. I haven't seen Dodgeball, even though I love the sport. Is that worth it, you guys? Is it pretty good?
I couldn't promise that it holds up, but I definitely enjoyed it the last time I watched it.
If you like Ben Stiller movies, like, it's just a corny Ben Stiller and Vince Vaughn movie. It's really good.
Sweet,
like, it's
sweet.
Not gonna blow you away, because it's like the same type of comedy as like Talladega Nights or, you know, Anchorman. I don't know. stuff like that.
Okay, I have to mention a hockey movie called Goon with Sean William Scott, where, you know, back in the day, I think they don't have fighters anymore, like, right? Like people that are just brought in on the hockey team to fight. I think that might be gone by now.
Yeah, I could imagine.
Yeah. But it's about Sean William Scott as the goon, the guy who's just supposed to fight, and he's like this dumb, you know, he's kind, but he's dumb. Like he'll even admit it. He's like, I don't really know what you're saying, shit like that. But he was like a bouncer at a bar, and he discovered that he could take a hit and just keep fighting and stuff. So then he has to eventually go up against Liev Schreiber, this other giant fighter on this other rival team and stuff. And it's got to be Liev Schreiber's best performance. He's so awesome in it. And yeah, written by Jay Baruchel or whatever his name is. Hate the actor. Good writer, though.
Come on. He's a good actor.
I don't like him at all. I guess he'll be in a movie. Oh, is that your dragon? Maybe I'll train it. I don't know. Lame. All right, should we go for the goal and switch topics?
Yes, we should.
I can go if you don't mind. Let's see here. While we're talking about movies, let's talk some more about movies. Method acting. I'm indifferent to method acting. The great Daniel Day-Lewis is a three-time Oscar winner, and you know, like when he was making Lincoln, you had to call him by Mr. President. When he was making Gangs of New York, it was cold, like it was like raining, and they're like, Mr. Lewis, put on this jacket. He's like, it's not time accurate or whatever. So he got his fucking cold and had to go to the hospital. A fucking idiot. Yet, you know, that's his
no,
craft.
Penicillin hasn't been invented yet. Yes. You can't give me antibiotics.
So stupid. But, you know, he's, again, he's highly decorated actor and stuff. The idea sounds intriguing to me. A lot of my favorite actors have method acted. But I'm mostly getting at the people that won't break character, you know, that insists on being treated a certain way or whatever. Jim Carrey, there was a documentary about when he was making Man on the Moon and he wanted to be Andy. But then when so he would do those pranks, but then he would also, Dave, you watched this, right? What was that? Tony
Yeah.
Curtis? Is that what his name was?
Clifton?
Oh, yeah.
Clifton?
What was it? Yeah. Tony Clifton?
And he's just this fucking asshole. And Jim Carrey would be an asshole to everyone. Everyone hated it when he decided to, you know, he's like, oh, today's Andy's going to be Andy. Or, you know, and everyone would be like signed, like, no. Like they almost would cry because he was a fucking dick, you know? And then a few other things here. Okay, so Robert De Niro. Oh my God, this is going to tie in to your thing. He's also a method actor. He famously, you know, gained that weight to play the Raging Bull character, right? But also in the movie Deer Hunter, where they're having Russian roulette, he wanted and insisted on them putting an actual bullet in the chamber or in the gun. You know, it wasn't going to click off. They made sure of that, right? But like, how fucking crazy is that? You know, and it did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then let's see here. Oh, Halle Berry, she was going to play like a crack whore or something like that in some movie. And she's in the movie like, I don't know, 5 minutes, something like that. But she was like, I didn't shower for 2 weeks straight. So like when she showed up on set, people were like, oh my God, like this is horrible. Yeah, I don't know. You guys know anything about famous method actors or anything like that?
Then Joaquin Phoenix, or no, not no. Jared Leto. I was thinking of the wrong Joker. But yeah, isn't he like famously also method?
Joaquin Phoenix was too. Joaquin did
Oh,
like
both.
some documentary and he like grew out a beard and then he went on like David Letterman, like in character from like his weird documentary movie, or I don't even know what kind of movie it was, but he was just acting all strange and weird for the entire interview. And I remember watching it like live when it was on in like, I don't know, 2003 or something. And it was just so strange. Because it was like he was playing the role of someone who was really quiet and not talkative, and I'm like, that's really boring.
Shia
Yeah, like
LaBeouf. Oh, let's go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like in general, like when you see like other people give really good performances without doing that, then it's just like, okay, like was that all worth it? But you were gonna tell like another instance.
Shia LaBeouf was in the movie Fury. It's a World War II tank movie. It's pretty good, but he was just like, my character lost a tooth in the war, so he had a dentist remove his tooth. And he also wouldn't shower, so they were like, in those tank scenes, they were like, for fuck's sake, Shia, like, this is a movie, like, it smells horrible in here. And we're how many hours upon hours did they shoot in that fucking movie with him?
See, this is why I love method actors because, like, I don't work in the movie business. If I was like a director or a fellow actor, I would hate these people and never want to work with them. But as like myself, I just hearing these stories, it's hilarious. Like the stupid shit that people are doing, it's so funny to me. I'm like, yeah, keep doing it. It's providing good material. And like I love that Jim Carrey documentary, where he was dressed up as Andy Kaufman all the time. That whole documentary was so fascinating to me because I hadn't even watched the Andy Kaufman movie he was in. I only watched that documentary of him playing Andy Kaufman and just seeing the behind the scenes of it. It was incredible. It made me like love Jim Carrey, but also think he's a psychopath at the same time.
Absolutely. That guy's, well, he got so rich, I think, and that just made his mind explode, because that was like his first $1 million pay or something like that. I don't know. But yeah, it just sounds miserable. And that's why it's like, well, is it worth it? It sounds like you're a fucking idiot if you can't break character and stuff. One thing I did like, Brad Pitt for his role in 12 Monkeys, where he plays that client, he like spent weeks upon weeks by himself in his hotel room. He wouldn't leave or anything like that. So by the time he got to interact with people, he was just zany and like bouncing off the walls and stuff like that. And if you ever saw 12 Monkeys, it's like one of his funnier performances. It's awesome. So it can
Yeah, I love that
work.
movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great movie. I loved him in it. I had no idea he was even in that movie, and it was a real pleasant surprise as his character and him being there. It like brought up the tone of the movie and stuff because it made like a sad, like crazy situation seem like light and almost a little fun to some people, so.
Oh man, more movies. Okay, well, should we get out of the theater and walk down? Like, we got more media to talk about. That's nuts.
Yeah, we'll get to that later. We can step out of the movie theater and walk into the grocery store. I have a hate for shrinkflation. So like you have inflation, but this is shrinkflation of just all of our products in the grocery store, just all the packages, like all the products we're getting, it's just getting smaller and smaller. Like, a bag of chips. Just little by little, they keep the price the same or they increase the price a little bit, but you get a half ounce less or you get an ounce less. And it's like I've looked online and it's like literally everything you can imagine, like whether it's chips, cereal, like bacon. Like you used to get a pack of bacon, you get a pound of bacon. And then it was like, well, now you get 12 ounces of bacon. Even like orange juice, you used to get like a 64-ounce carton. Well, now it's not 64 ounces, it's like 52 ounces. Even like packs of yogurt, I don't remember how many ounces they used to be, but they're a little bit smaller now. Even with like toilet paper or Kleenex, like you're getting less. And they like the toilet paper rolls, like the actual cardboard part gets bigger. So that way they can put less toilet paper around it.
That's really dumb.
Like, and I was the reason I thought of this is because I was making a grilled cheese and Campbell's soup, tomato soup. And I have like the canned soup, and I like the can seems small. I kind of feel like I'm Andre the Giant holding a beer can, a tiny little can. And like I'm pouring it into my bowl, and then I realize like I'm able to pour it out of the pan, and I pour all of it into my bowl, and the bowl isn't even full. And I'm like, this, I remember when I was a kid, like my mom would make it, and there was enough for like three or four people. And now I'm like, it's a stretch to make it enough for two people. So I don't, like, was my mom watering it down that much, or is there a lot less in there?
I was gonna mention one of the very first it was a culture inflation that I remembered in real time were the Cadbury eggs or Cadbury eggs, where I'm like, I'm pretty sure they used to be bigger than this. And then even the product itself, like their tagline was like, we're not smaller, you're bigger.
Nice
But
try, Cadbury.
yeah, and some comedian, I don't remember who, he went on like Jay Leno and he pulled out proof that the eggs were like he had an older egg on him and they were so much bigger that it was so good. It was so validating. The other thing was granola bars. I used to eat a lot of granola bars because they were like 25 cents, getting yourself some oats and some chocolate and, stuff like that. But then even then, like I remember exactly how wide they were. And now they're just like so tiny. Like they're almost like wafers, like a Kit Kat or something like that. It's so bizarre. And then the Big Mac. I remember the Big Mac being like fucking big, man. Like what happened to that? Oh. Go ahead, John.
So now, like, we can't deny that, the dollar is worth less than it was in previous years. And, like, every year it goes, the value goes down. So are we saying we'd prefer just charge more for the same items that we're already used to? Because one way or another, like, they're not gonna keep selling the same thing for the same price.
So like I'll go to Sam's Club, and I like going to Sam's Club because I can actually like get the amount of product that I actually like want. And because like with the granola bars, like Vince was just saying, like I got those, but they're so small. I literally will grab three of them every day to bring to work. Like, why the fuck do I need three granola bars? Just make a normal size granola bar and I'll just take one.
Yeah, and it does seem really wasteful for packaging where, like, oh, now there's like two packages for something that used to be one, which is annoying.
Yeah. And like with, I don't know. I know with like Gatorade, it used to be like 32 ounces for like the large Gatorade, and then it's like down to 26 ounces. And, but yeah, like you were saying, it would be really nice if things do get more expensive. Yeah, we understand that. But I want to have like a normal amount of like, this container is enough food for two people. But like the serving size, it kind of cuts into like the serving sizes on certain items where it says, it's like, oh, there's five servings in here. And it's like, no, there's not five servings, there's two. But that gets into like the nutrition facts and how they try to like skew how many calories are in certain items. Just there's so many different things that you can nitpick that are absolutely kind of terrible that companies kind of just do to just, save a penny here, earn a penny here, and they just, you just get nickel and dimed from every angle.
Mitch Hedberg had a great joke about Kit Kat bars and how, like, it's like imprinted in the chocolate Kit Kat, He's like, that robs you of chocolate. Like, you could have had those little letters, you could have ate that little letter. Good. Well, yeah, it's a crying shame, but let us accept the chips that oh, you mentioned chips, right? Like how it's a there's a lot of air. Well, I would prefer that than buying a full bag of chips, open it, and it's all fucking stale, or damn near. That's a
Or
crime.
crushed,
Yeah, that's true.
crushed into dust.
Yeah. No, I'd snort that dust and then go out, then go hit the clubs. All right. Well, should we leave this aisle and
Yeah,
see what
let's
else?
go into the next aisle where I will continue to talk about consumer products.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I hate the fact that there's so many products and like services out there that are just like they know, like they're known not to work, not to do anything, or they're known to be like bad for you or, just bad for the world or something. And they're just like allowed to keep making and selling that thing. So like some of the things I'm thinking of are the, like stuff that just doesn't work, like a lot of like the supplements you would buy in a drugstore, or like the like remember like they used to sell like those magnetic bracelets and stuff, and they would tell you like, oh, the magnets make your pain go away, or they make you better at golfing or whatever. Or then even like just doctors who prescribe pills for everything that like they do something, but like the person wouldn't necessarily need it. Like there were other options, or just, like everything in like the weight loss market, like is just stuff that just everybody knows it doesn't work, but they try it and then it doesn't, and they move on to something else. And there's just like not really anything keeping these companies from making all these claims. And then the stuff I was thinking that is like bad for you, like the flushable wipes that they sell, like baby wipes, like yes, they're flushable in the sense that they will go down the toilet when you flush. They're horrible for if you have a septic tank. They're horrible if you're on like, city sewer and stuff. Like they just cause all these issues. Yet, like people don't know any better. Like they just like, oh yeah, it says flushable. I'll use them. Why not? And like you can't blame people for that. Or like all the stuff that they sell like in plastic that just nobody recycles. So like it just ends up in the trash and there's nothing you can do about it. Like just all this stuff, like these are just huge like systematic problems. And like the only solution we're given, like, oh, if you don't like it, don't buy it. But like how, like everybody in the country doesn't know everything about every product. I know I certainly have bought things that I later found out were like bogus, and like I still did it,
Let's throw in cigarettes, because
Oh yeah, I mean,
they have to say that, right?
yeah.
Yeah.
But at least cigarettes these days, like it's no secret that they're bad for you. Like, it just looks so cool when you smoke that it's worth it. But like all these other things, there's like no indication that the thing that you're buying is bad for you, or like there's no way like ever drinking a Coke is good for you, and that like your doctor's gonna be like, oh yeah, you should drink a, have more Coca-Cola every day. But and I'm not trying to say it shouldn't be sold either, but just it should be more like there should be more education about like what the effects are, and like they shouldn't like be able to make claims that are clearly untrue.
Energy drinks, that's another big thing. But like they weren't telling you it was bad or good, but people around me in my life are like, yeah, those are bad for you. I'm like, shut up. I feel young.
Found the phone yeah, all of the youth. Labeling, all the labeling on the side is trying to like tell you, oh, it's good for you. It's got like this and this, and it's like a bunch of words that like guarana and like I don't know what any of these things mean. But it's like, oh, I guess it's good for me because that sounds like the name of a supplement. Okay.
You know, it does suck that styrofoam packing peanuts, is that still around, or do we get those big plastic pillows in there now?
Yeah, I see styrofoam peanuts way less often than I used to. I'm sure some people still use them though.
Yeah, but I guess that would be if you have a business and or shipping or whatever, then you would probably buy the packing peanuts. I don't know. But yeah, I'm not really too sure about like products that aren't going to work. You mentioned the shake weights. Remember the shake weights?
Yeah, that's another one.
Oh my gosh, that was just so funny though.
I thought of this one. It might be debatable, but I feel like mouthwash, I don't feel like it does anything. I don't feel like it's necessary in any way. Like, yeah, it'll give you better breath if your breath stinks, but I don't think you're going to be a healthier person just because you use mouthwash.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but this, we're talking to, I only brush once a day. Maybe if I'm going to get lucky. You know what, Dave?
I was going to bring it up in the shrinkflation about how things of toothpaste are getting smaller, because I go through a lot of toothpaste, and you guys know I don't brush my teeth that often. So why am I going through so much?
So with mouthwash, there's like different kinds. I think like absolutely like Scope is not doing like anything for you medically or dentally. There's ones that have like fluoride in it that I think help rebuild enamel, and then like Listerine, like they claim to help with gum disease. I haven't read the research, so I'm not sure, but
yeah,
like I think they could definitely help if you have like a large amount of bacteria in your mouth and you need to kill it, then yes. But if you have like a normal mouth, I don't think you need that to maintain it.
But if you got a real purdy mouth.
Oh man. Yeah, I can't think of any other products that I probably did all beer, of course. Don't they say, don't we all know that beer's bad, alcohol and shit like that? That's a whole topic. Yeah. Oh boy. Thanks for bringing us down.
No problem. I'm sorry that something I hate wasn't a positive uplifting topic.
Oh god. Okay, so should we return our purchases and to another topic? Is it me?
It is.
Yeah. Okay. All right, I will go with my love. I love a Renaissance person. I was going to say Renaissance man, but there are plenty of women who do all sorts of things with their life. And that's what I'm getting at. People that have had multiple careers, people that, they act and they box and shit like that. It mostly comes from growing up with my dad. He had so many different jobs. He would just always work and stuff, but ironworking, carpentry, trimming trees, working in the cranberry marshes, might be something else there, but plenty of different things that he would do, It was a big family, and he provided. But I love the fact that he would just be doing something this year for a little bit, and then go and do something else, so work with other people and stuff. Having had a job now, or have worked, you kind of get it. You would have to, like, oh man, wouldn't that be cool if I could just do something else for a little bit, just break it up a little bit? Like, John, you're a programmer, right? Well, why don't you fucking go chop some trees down?
Just today, in fact, like normally I program in Python. Today it's something completely different. I was programming in JavaScript, like
So I don't know. I think that's really cool. So I just wanted to bring up other people that I've always like, oh, that's kind of cool. Brock Lesnar. He was amateur wrestler and then wrestler in the WWE. Then he was like, I want to play football. So he got on to the Vikings, right? Like at least preseason or something, right, Dave?
Yeah, he was with them for all of training camp, so like 5 weeks or something.
Yeah, that's fucking badass, man. And then he's like, oh, I want to go in the UFC. And he did. So, like, I just like that is a fascinating life to me. Other people tried CM Punk, even though he didn't succeed. I'm still like, dude, what an amazing life you have. He was a wrestler as well. He did two UFC fights, and then he also went on the challenge, motherfucker. That's like cool shit, man. And then Mickey Rourke, he was an actor, successful, but he just like, I wanna box, and he just fought whoever. Like he didn't try and ask for any like main events against big names or anything. He just boxed, and you could like his face is completely, you can't even recognize it anymore because of the years of boxing. Then he would have to get surgeries and shit like that. So, but yeah, I don't know. That's what I mean by Renaissance men. How do you guys feel about that?
Well, what do you think about like someone who's like an actor who makes a ton of money from movies or something, and then they like get into business?
Oh.
So then they'll have like a tequila company or a phone company or something like that.
Yeah, that's shit. That's a good one. And by good, I mean, I don't know. I'm not as I think if they started a band, although most actors turn musicians are pretty god awful. I think I personally think that musicians turned actors are more interesting, and athletes turned actors. There's some that are like Carl Weathers, RIP. We just lost him. But I had no idea he was in the NFL because he doesn't act like an athlete at all. He's got the chops, you know what I mean? So
Oh
that's
man, just
cool.
watched Predator again the other day. So
Oh
good.
shit. Yeah. Classic.
Yeah, I think for a true Renaissance man, it's not about like having different like jobs or sources of incomes, but it's more about the skill. Like, learning how to box, or like learning something totally different. Because I think if you're an actor, acting's acting, but then if you start like, yeah, you bought a tequila company or Cricket Mobile or something, like I don't care. Like that's not an actual skill. But like if you learned how to like pilot an airplane, then I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, he's a pilot.
Harrison
Or
Ford.
like William Shatner does like a ton of things outside of acting. He does like tons of charities, and like does he do the hot air balloons or like something like that, maybe? He does like a lot of stuff like horseback riding, like just weird different things where it's like he's kind of seems like you could put him in any situation and he'd be able to fend for himself.
He would be able to captain any.
Ship.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. What about? Okay, I like to write. Correct. I wrote a script, but I also like to make podcasts. I also like to draw. Would that count as a Renaissance man in anyone's eyes?
I think you have to be professionally successful.
Fuck. God damn it.
You know how there's like sports and then there's e-sports? It's like there's Renaissance man and then there's like e-Renaissance.
Wait a minute. What were the when I think Renaissance men, who were the Renaissance men? Da Vinci, wasn't he a Renaissance
Yeah.
man?
Yeah, like Michelangelo, they could like carve sculptures or be a blacksmith or I don't know.
But
Paintings.
okay, but that's art. That's cr being creative. Aren't I being creative by writing,
Yes, and
podcasting?
you are, but they were
Like your no, Leonardo
professionally
DiCaprio.
successful with their art.
You guys keep
They
bringing that
were
up, but
being commissioned for their sculptures and their paintings, and you know, like, oh, we got this little Sistine Chapel. You want to paint the ceiling for us? That kind of thing.
Vince, we have the Sistine Chapel. You want to make a podcast underneath it? Why, yes. Ah, damn it.
So Vince, I have worked at McDonald's, so I'm a bit of a cook.
Oh, yeah.
I've worked at a manufacturing place, so I'm a bit of a carpenter. And I work at a hospital, so I'm a bit of a healer. So perhaps I'm a Renaissance man.
That's, I would almost accept that. I mean, just the different, trying out different things. I mean, I'll count that, Dave. You were a cook, man.
Thank you. I needed that boost of confidence. Going to put McDonald's back on my resume again.
Man. I'm sure, that'd be great. All right, what about you, John? Are you you mentioned you want to be a jack of all trades, but a master of none.
Yeah, I mean, like, so I don't actually. I'm not a programmer for my job in actuality. But so my job is to like become an expert on our competitors. And like I use programming to like kind of run some of the tests and research that I do. But you know, I also have to like dig into their like financial reports and like try and understand like how all that corporate finance stuff works. I'll have to you know, like look at computer hardware and stuff and like understand how stuff is put together and what components are being used. Have to like understand their marketing messages and then like give our marketing team you know, suggestions on how to specifically target these competitors. So, I mean, I'm not saying that qualifies as Renaissance man or anything, but there are a lot of like different disciplines within like my day-to-day job.
All right. I like that. I accept that. Disciplines. Wait, but you've done other things before this, right? You've had a milker. You were a farmer,
That's
right?
right. Milk some cows. Worked at the grocery store. I was a bit of a packaging specialist.
Don't know. I just think of all the poor saps that work one fucking job and they're just like, oh my God, one more day of this and I'll crack. But they've been saying it for fucking decades, you know? I just like the people that can do different stuff who have all types of interests. That's just really cool to me. So, should we, like Da Vinci, drop a new topic of man, yes, and change the topic. Whoever's up next.
I will go. I am, well, I want to go with my love. I love Seinfeld, the TV show Seinfeld. So when I say I love Seinfeld, like I love Jerry Seinfeld. I love Larry David, the creators. I love the cast, like Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Jason Alexander, Michael Richards, Newman. What's Newman's name? I
Wayne
don't even
Knight.
remember. Wayne Knight, yeah. Awesome. Like the show Seinfeld to me is it was there were sitcoms, you know, ever since, you know, I guess back to like I Love Lucy and the Honeymooners, like back in the 50s and 60s. And I felt like Seinfeld to me is probably just because it's from my generation. I watched it when I was, you know, a teenager. But it was like, it was it at its peak form, because everything I've seen since then, you know, there's like Friends, and then like Big Bang Theory, and there's like other good sitcoms, but Seinfeld, I feel like it was just like, just a perfect storm of just awesomeness. It was every episode, it the writing was just perfect, like just near perfect. And it was just a great run show itself. There's like, they would always like through the seasons, they would have different writers. And for like a season, they would have like five different writers, and they would all just take turns like, okay, you're going to do episode 2, then you're going to write episode 7, and then you're going to write episode 13, and then 18, and then 23. And they would, because I remember just watching on the DVDs, I would just look at the writers for each episode, and then I would learn my favorite writer and be like, oh, okay, he wrote this one too, I like this guy. And then I'd go through and I'd look at the DVD cases and figure out like, okay, I want to watch this episode and this episode, just, you know, where it's all just one writer. I know I've watched like every episode probably like 20 times at least. Some of my, like, I'll just say a few of my favorite episodes or like favorite moments. Like, my favorite character is George Costanza. He has so many different just like awesome circumstances and like one lines in some of the episodes. I love it when he's like the marine biologist and he's like, the sea was angry that day, my friends. And they're in the coffee shop and he's going through the story of like going out to climb on top of the great fish. And then they're like, mammal. It's like, oh yeah. And he pulls out the golf ball and it's like a reveal from like, you know, earlier in the episode where Kramer was hitting golf balls out into the ocean. I love that. I love like when George was, you know, he's nervous to go and talk to the girl who's sitting there. There's a real pretty lady there. And then they're like, just, you know, regular George would never do that, but just do the opposite of what George would normally do. So he just goes up to her and he's like, my name's George. I'm unemployed and I live with my parents. And she's like, hi, I'm Victoria. And she's like, nice to meet you. And he's like, oh my God, it worked. like another really good like Jerry and George moment for me was when Jerry was trying to he's dating one girl and he realized he doesn't really like her, but he likes the girl's roommate more, and he wants to do what they call the switch, where he's gonna switch, you know, dating the one roommate for the other roommate. And him and George are just like sitting in the coffee shop and they're just eating and drinking coffee and, you know, trying to come up with a way to figure out how to do this. It's like, it's been impossible. No one's done it. You'd get locked up in the Middle Ages for even suggesting it. Like, just some of the lines in the show are just so, like, perfect to me. It's my favorite.
Go ahead, John.
So I've actually had Seinfeld on my list of indifferences. Ooh. That I was going to maybe get to sometime. I've tried, like, I never watched it when it was on, you know, when I was that age. And like a couple times I've tried to just like, I want to watch all of Seinfeld, and I'll like start it from the beginning, and I just kind of lose steam at some point. I definitely don't hate it, and I definitely think a ton of it is funny. Like, there's stuff that I quote all the time, like the jerk store call. They're all out of you, like that kind of stuff. Like, I think there's like some hilarious moments in the show, but just, you know, I've never been able to like get into it to be like a completionist or anything.
If you do start watching it from the beginning, you're going to have a bad time, because the first two seasons are terrible.
Okay.
They're not terrible.
I thought they were pretty bad. Like, it's like they're very, just the way it's set up in a way that like most bad sitcoms are set up, where it's just like they have one storyline and it's just every scene is about advancing that one storyline. But once they really hit their stride, in like seasons like 4 and later, when they would have like three or four coherent storylines that were all intertwined the entire episode and then would come to a meeting point at the end. And that's like a peak Seinfeld characteristic, but it's not present in every episode because some of those earlier seasons didn't have that.
Oh, that's interesting. And yeah, I definitely think of that as being something from the episodes I do like.
Yeah, for sure. Those early episodes are fine. I wouldn't say they're bad, but like they're just not up to par what the show does become. And yeah, it's probably season four, very late season three or something like that. But I wanted to mention the comparison when It's Always Sunny came out. They're like, oh, it's Seinfeld on crack. And at first I was like, okay, fine, yeah, I'll buy into that. But I soon realized what made a big difference between the shows. Seinfeld, they have the core characters, and they're interesting in their own right. But then there's so many other interesting characters in every episode. Sometimes they come back and return or whatever, but they look so much fun to play, Whereas It's Always Sunny, they mostly just cast everyone to be the straight man to their lunacy, right? So it's so weird that they get like what's her name from Reno 911, the lady, who's hilarious, and they just want her to play the psychiatrist who's just there to be like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? It's like a waste of time. They used all their actors really well in the Seinfeld episodes. I want to mention, and maybe it's a New York thing, but a lot of the characters have like, they could just be assholes. They could just kind of like have a bone to pick. And what was it? The doorman. Do you remember the doorman? Where he's like, oh, you're too good to too good to talk to the doorman, huh? There's no way he would know he would be reading the business section or something like that, right? I don't know. He's like so sinister, and he just has a bone to pick with Jerry for no reason. But
Yeah,
there's so many.
Larry Miller.
Yes, yeah, that guy. There's just so many characters. Like when Kramer had to go into a hockey game or whatever, and he's like, "Oh, I don't have the tickets," and the guy's like, "Oh, you don't have the ticket." And he just starts to light up. It's like, "Oh, then you can't go in," like for no reason. He's just enjoying being this foe to Kramer, And he's only in that one fucking scene. So one a couple things that I just love just to look at is the sidewalk scenes. I love the fact that in New York it's a clearly fake sidewalk. It's so tiny where I'm like, I would love to have that recreated outside my house or something if I could ever afford it, Like I love that fake sidewalk that they have. Kramer, of course, might be my favorite just because he always comes up with these odd things to do, physical comedy, but also just weird ways of saying his words and stuff. Like I just he really caught my attention when I was younger, because it's everyone understands clown, and then oh my gosh, where is it? Oh, so some of my favorite episodes. Oh, actually, no, I want to mention this. So lots of writers, right? That's cool and awesome writers. But what I liked is that consistent director. They pretty much only had two directors for 9 seasons. There would be some people here and there, but for the most part, the first, I want to say the first 5 seasons was by Tom Sharonis, and then the rest were Andy Ackerman. And I just think that just really helps consisting with a tone, those episodes were so solid. And then I wanted to mention some favorite moments or whatever is when Jerry is going to race that guy who, he thinks he's faster than he actually is. He actually cheated or whatever way back in the day. I love that with the Superman theme throughout the episode. That's cool. When Jerry has to record the movie, he's supposed to bootleg the movie and stuff. At first, he doesn't want to do it, but then he eventually like he becomes artistic about it. He's like, "Oh no, you're shooting this all wrong. I got to do it," and stuff like that. That's amazing. And then the bosses are funny. All their bosses are pretty sweet. And yeah. Oh, and then finally with George Costanza, when he gets that grapefruit in his eye, so he's randomly like winking at people and people interpret that wrong, and oh, so good. It's a great show. This was going to be my love, actually.
Yeah, I love that Kramer's your favorite, because he's like probably my second favorite, because he has so many different like unique things his character did with the show, like his physical comedy, the way he talks. But then like, because he's like the in It's Always Sunny, like it turned into like all four of them just kind of being crazy people. But in Seinfeld, it was like Kramer was crazy, and then George was crazy some of the time. But like, I love how Kramer put in like a garbage disposal in his shower, and he's just in his shower and he's making a salad and he's got the garbage disposal running. And then the episode where he just puts in the hot tub in his living room, and he's soaking in the hot tub all the time. And then he falls asleep in it and the power goes out because of the water heater or something, and he wakes up freezing. And then where he found like the set to the Merv Griffin show, and he puts up a television set in his apartment. And then anytime he invites everyone over, and then they like he's sitting in the chair that Merv Griffin sat in, and he has them sit in the guest chairs next to him. And then all of a sudden the door knocks, and they're like, "Oh, we weren't expecting another guest." Like, oh, some of that stuff is so funny to me.
Okay, we gotta talk. This might be spoilers for John, but let's talk about that finale, Dave. How do you feel about it?
It was not good, because they had like recap episodes, or like the best of episodes, like two back-to-back episodes of like all of the best scenes throughout the show. And then the finale comes out, and it's the same thing where it was like they go to court, and then they just bring in other characters from the past, and they're just kind of like, remember this moment in time. And they're just remembering like when he steals the marble rye from the old lady, and just stupid stuff like that. Or like, oh, you stole the tennis racket from that one lady, Elaine, like how dare you. So yeah, the episode, it wasn't good. Like, I think it would have been better if it was just like a standard episode and not like gimmicky, because they made it gimmicky and it kind of fell flat.
So there you go, John. Start at season four, but do not watch the finale.
All right, good advice. Need someone to do this to me for Star Trek: The Next Generation too.
I want to get into that as well. I just
It's like these are the episodes you should skip.
right.
Yeah.
Oh, Jerry Stiller, George's dad.
Oh
I love
yeah.
Jerry Stiller. He's so great. But well, should we oh my God. What's a good segue here? Should we enter the contest of wait, no. I don't have a good segue. Should we go to Jersey? We were in New York. I don't know. All right, who's next?
All right. So despite the fact that I'm mostly indifferent to sports, I love March Madness brackets. I don't think I've ever seen an entire game of basketball, but I've done a bracket for like the last at least like 8 years. And I don't know why, like it's I guess we were talking about Moneyball, like the stats and stuff around the game, and that kind of appeals to me. And like with March Madness, like just how many different combinations there are, like creating a bracket, watching how you're doing against like everyone in the country who's doing it, and then like against your friends specifically, and like when you somehow predict like the upset game where like 75% of brackets are dead, but you survive somehow, like that stuff is just really fun to me. And we kind of talked about it with gambling, where if you put money on something, it all of a sudden, like something you don't care about at all becomes like the most important thing in the world for that amount of time. And then, like, beyond the actual March Madness, I just think like the brackets are a great way to make decisions. Like, put all, everything that, you know, might be an option for something on a bracket, let people vote on head-to-head challenges between all of them. 'Cause, like, you can kind of get these weird like rock paper scissors interactions where like you know this thing never would have beat that thing, but because something else took it out earlier, then you know like it makes it all the way, and like just that kind of stuff is really fascinating to me.
Go ahead, Dave. You might have more to say about this.
I love March Madness brackets too. I know like I don't know when it was, like 10 or 12 years ago, I did one. And like the college Butler, I don't even know where Butler's from. I think it might be like Indiana or something, or Kentucky. I have no idea. But the college Butler, I picked them to get to like the Elite Eight. And I think they made it to like the Final Four or something. And it was just like the most obscure thing ever. And I just picked them to go really far. And I also picked Davidson. Because my name is David, so I'm like, oh, there's a college named David. I'm like, I'm gonna pick them to go really far. And they had Steph Curry, who would go on to play for the Golden State Warriors and win like four NBA titles. Like he was on that team, and like the team was just great. And I just happened to pick it because I was like, oh, I share a name with it. It's just like stupid things like that where I just randomly happen to pick correctly. It's just like it makes me feel so happy, and it's just like a. It's like a gambling thing, kind of. So it's made it fun, but most years I've done it, I haven't done it probably in like 4 years, but I'll probably try it again this year. But I do really like the tournament format for like anything, like when you have different movies against different movies, like which is your favorite movie? I know there's a lot of like TikTok videos where, you know, you're like, okay, pick your favorite movie, and then you know you have Shawshank Redemption versus like Pulp Fiction, and you're like, oh, you know, which one am I gonna pick? Those are fun. It's also fun when it's just like picking your favorites, like tournament style, and it's like, who's your favorite professional wrestler? Is it, you know, is it Hulk Hogan or The Rock? And then is it either Stone Cold or The Undertaker? And then, like you said, we're like, oh, the only reason they got knocked out was because they ran into this person in the first round. Otherwise, they would have probably made it to the final.
How do you guys, how do they typically decide the order, the sequence? That's where I'm like, well, maybe they're trying to protect this guy, you know, so they're gonna put him against these fucking jobbers, you know?
Yeah,
That's
that's a
my
good
question.
question. I feel like with college sports, everything is just like arbitrary, and they're, I don't know, like I don't know if like I don't think like you have to get a certain record or something to make it in to the tournament. I think it's like somehow you get chosen. Do you know, Dave?
I think so. There's like the NCAA has like a commission, which is kind of like a board of directors. And so like every college has like their coach or whatever, but then they have their athletic director. And if you've been an athletic director for like the University of Wisconsin, if you've been an athletic director there for 10 years or something and you have seniority, then you might get chosen to be on like the NCAA's board of directors. And like, 'cause that's the board who could, I think they do all like the seeding where they do like the top 25 ranking. So like in basketball, they have like, you know, your regular season record. And then if you're like a big name school, you can have a little bit of a worse record if you have a down year because you're considered a better team because you have a stronger strength of schedule. You're playing better teams. But they do like four different like regional brackets or whatever, where you have like north, east, south, and west. And then in those, you know, you have like Kansas and you know, Rutgers, and then Florida and Tennessee, and then you have like Texas A&M, and then you have like LSU and USC, and they kind of rank all of them. and they rank them separately in those four different brackets. So you're ranked 1 through 16. There's 16 teams in each bracket, so it equals like 64. And then the one seed will play the worst seed, which is the 16th seed. So if you're like a fringe small school and you made it in as the 16th seed, it's like, well, good luck that you made it there, but now you got to face the best team, you know, in your bracket there. So it's interesting because, I mean, you end up with upsets. Like every year, there's always like a, you know, a 14, 15, or 16 that will knock off a top team. And then that team is just out of the bracket. You lose once and you're done. That's what's cool about it, is the fact that you just lose once and you're done. Because like in the NBA in the playoffs, it's a best of seven series. So it's like, yeah, you lose a game, but you can come back and you get another chance at it. In college, you don't.
Shit. The UFC, that's how they, their all their pay-per-views would be tournaments. You would have to fight, I don't know what the math is, but like, you know, have four fights potentially in one day, you know, and they've tried to bring that back, at least in the PFL. But oddly enough, that's hard to get working too with scheduling conflicts. So it's actually easier to just have it done in that one day, even though it's fucking dangerous, you know. One movie that used the bracket quite well is a movie called The Quick and the Dead. It's a Western
film. Love that movie.
Film. Yeah, Sam Raimi. And yeah, it's about a quick draw contest. And yeah, it's so good. Very, very awesome. Yeah. Anything else
on this? Another thing, like with the statistics of it, it's like Warren Buffett for many years offered $1 billion to anyone who had a perfect bracket. So not just like, oh, you picked the winner, but like every single game you got right, you know, like throughout the entire tournament. And it's so statistically unlikely that he felt confident putting that much money up for it and never had to pay out, because it just, you're not gonna pick a perfect bracket.
Shit. Wow. Okay, well, it seems like this topic just lost, or we defeated that topic. Now we got to go up to the next contender, right? Next topic. Was it me?
It is.
Okay. Let's do my hate. I hate procrastination. This would have been in the first episode, but oh.
Nice. So you saved it for last today.
Gosh, yeah. Okay, so it's probably one of the most annoying things about me. Whenever I start to pick on myself, I'm like, oh God, you keep on, you know, delaying in like everything in my fucking life. And you would imagine that I would learn a lesson, but not really. And it's had an effect on, you know, my vehicles. Don't bring them in for this and that. I always say I'm going to, but don't think about it. My health, you know, I'm always just like, you know, if I will, you know, like I have a fucking treadmill and it's great, but then I just kind of stop. And it's so weird, like, maybe it's the lack of motivation or a serious mental thing where I'm like, everything has to be perfect before, in order for this other thing to happen. This has to be okay and in line before I could even attempt to think about doing this or that. And, you know, it became extremely apparent when my brother moved in with me and he was talking the same thing, the same way. I'm like, oh God, we are like, we're exactly the same. And you sound ridiculous, which means I'm ridiculous. So yeah, it's always been this thing that yeah, just affects a lot of shit. I don't even know if talking about it is going to change a damn thing. You know, when we talked about drinking alcohol, that kind of affected things. So who knows, maybe this will do the trick, but from what I can tell, what I just said, I'm not convinced to start, you know, changing things. So I'm curious on what you guys have to say.
I would say I'm typically not a big procrastinator. Like, I don't always do stuff immediately, but I'm never really like waiting till the last second. One thing that really bugged me about people who procrastinate is dishonest procrastinators. So where like in college, like let's say, oh yeah, I've got this big project due, next week or whatever. And like, okay, yeah, so you want to go out and do this thing? Like, no, I got that project. So then I would go out and then I'd come back and like they had not done a single thing to work on that project. It's like you could have like done something fun this entire time. Instead, you like lied to yourself and then didn't get anything done and missed out on a fun thing. Like, just, why would you do
I feel like I'm getting put on blast, but
that?
what about you, Dave?
Like, I've always been a big procrastinator. And like part of it's procrast like I really don't know if it's procrastinating or just laziness, because it can kind of intertwine itself where you can't even identify, like, am I procrastinating, like doing, because like I hate folding laundry, but it's like, am I just being lazy? Like, probably. But because there's different like varying degrees of procrastination, like I've heard weird noises coming out of my truck and I'm like, I'll just deal with that next week. And then, cut to 3 days later, my truck isn't driving anymore and the belt snapped on it. And it's like, well, now I'm stranded 50 miles from home. And I'm like, I heard a noise coming from my truck, but I blew it off and I didn't do anything. And it comes back to bite you. Like, because I kind of struggle with procrastination and laziness a lot. So, like, as an adult, now that I'm an adult, I'm like, I have to like try and keep myself disciplined, where when I have the day off, where it's like, okay, I have 2 days off in a row, on these 2 days I'm like, I have to do this on this day and this on this day. Like, I have to give myself like an assignment, like, you're gonna do this no matter what. And like, whatever the project is, like, if I have a day off, I need to accomplish something. So I've done it. And that way, just to get that feeling of satisfaction and relief that, like, okay, like, I wasn't like a total piece of shit today. Like, I did something. Because I know, like, in my 20s, I would go weeks and weeks and I wouldn't like pay my bills. And then I would get late fees and like, I would do tons of stupid shit, just procrastinating and putting stuff off.
Oh, that cat. It procrastinated to meow now. He could have got all his meows out a long time ago. That's funny. Well, like that cat said, no more waiting to the last minute. Well, I do have to say, I mentioned that, in terms of my health, and I'm like, will anything change? I have had a recent, I won't even say it's a health scare or something, but I took myself to the hospital the other week, and they're like, oh, you have high ass blood pressure. I'm like, oh, really? Oh, shit. And they're like, so you're gonna have to like do this and that. And I'm like, well, that's the stuff that I've been telling myself I was going to do anyways. And so because of that, I kind of have no choice but to do the healthy stuff that I've been meaning to do. So yeah, maybe that will change. But I also have to add the fact that I mentioned I'm a writer, and like I have this and that. I'm trying to make my own board game and shit like that. I have like a bunch of script ideas, and at first I'm like, oh, I'm just so full of like creativity and stuff, or it's just procrastination, not finishing any of these fucking projects, So I might be just piling up all these ideas that are never gonna fucking get finished. So, yeah. Who knows?
I can definitely relate to the starting a project and never finishing it thing. Yeah, I guess I thought of that as different from procrastination because I think of procrastination as like stuff you pretty much have to do and
Oh.
then you either don't do it or put it off. But yeah, like I definitely like lose steam on projects if there's like no external force saying like you have to do this.
Yeah, and again, I kick myself because a lot of times things are okay. I don't know if I think it's going to be hard to do to accomplish, or it's not going to be good once it's done. But like exercise, for example, some people might not like to hear this and think I'm a real fucking dumbass. But like, for example, last week they're like, "Hey, you got to cut this and that out," and I'm like, "Yeah, I've been meaning to do that." And I've lost like fucking 7 pounds since then, but that's always been the case where if I exercise, the results show immediately. But I don't know, maybe it's like, oh, it'll be there, it'll be there. But like, I'm almost fucking 40 now, and maybe my body will like, nope, sorry, dude, we don't do that anymore. I'm sorry. We hold on to the weight. So I don't know. I just feel like that's what's gonna happen. Just like with my high blood pressure, I've been meaning to cut back on this or that, but I didn't. So hopefully I don't always have to be reprimanded for all this stuff, but like it's a serious thing, this procrastination. Like I said, in all aspects of my life. So hopefully it changes.
Well, you just need us to like hold you accountable and make fun of you for failing.
Yes. Did you look at you dumbass? You had a fucking stroke. Oh God. All right. So should we finally have we accomplished something? Have we accomplished this topic? Is it time to do a new topic? Whoever's up. Is it Dave?
Yeah, I think it is me. I have one thing left, and that's my indifference. And this is totally, I don't know, it's weird going from like procrastination to this, but my topic is I'm indifferent to an actor, an all-time great actor, Robert De Niro. Like I've always felt like I've liked Robert De Niro because I like he's in some of my favorite movies, like Goodfellas, and I love Casino. And like I love the movie Meet the Fockers when it came out and he was in that. I thought he was really funny in that. That movie doesn't hold up at all to me. Like I think that movie is actually kind of terrible when I go back and I've gone back and watched it. But like even though I like Robert De Niro, I really feel like I could just replace him with lots of different actors. And I would get it either equal or better performance out of his roles. Like I don't know, like what was it, Taxi Driver, like one of his first big movies. Like it was kind of a cool movie, but that was Martin Scorsese, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was
Yeah.
actually gonna bring up like Taxi Driver as one that I really like him in, like just like he's like such a dirtbag character, like doesn't really understand the way anything works, but I still find him like super charming in that movie. Like I can see why like someone would be attracted to him because he like even though he like does the wrong thing all the time, it's just like there's just something about him that it seems like he like means well or something. I don't know.
Like for me, I'm different. I don't find him charming in the movie. I just find him as a dirt bag. And yeah, so I don't even like him in that movie because I feel like he's a dirt bag and it doesn't seem like he's acting. It just seems like he's being himself. I don't know. There's something after watching that movie where I just felt like, yeah, Robert De Niro's a piece of shit. Maybe it was like such good acting that I just bought into him being a person.
Have you seen him in Raging Bull?
No.
Well, he won the Oscar for that, and he's just a complete asshole. And I would say you believe that he is that asshole in that movie. So I think he's just very good, almost too good for you, Dave.
Maybe,
Or
because
like,
I just saw Flowers of the Killer Moon, and I just felt like he was a huge asshole. He's just like an old man who's like almost on his deathbed, and the whole time I'm just thinking, man, this guy's an asshole. I fucking hate him.
Yeah, I did not find him charming in that one. I was thinking like Godfather Part Two. Like, yes. My favorite parts are like him being, you know, the young Vito or whatever. Like, that's like, I think he's great in that, and like, I just love that, those parts of the movie.
That's my favorite performance of his is Godfather Part Two. Also, he is extremely effective as the villain in Cape Fear. Have you guys ever seen that? No, Scorsese that again. Dude, oh my gosh, check that out. It's super stylistic. I mean, Scorsese usually is, but it's like a thriller, like almost like a horror movie, because he's, you know, Robert De Niro, he's this ex-con, and he's going after Nick Nolte, the lawyer that put him away, and his family, and it's just really well made, and De Niro is very fucking scary. Like, I still kind of think about his performance. But is it, didn't, he wasn't the main character in Goodfellas, right? He was just kind of there to me. Wasn't it about Leota? Yeah, and was, then, yeah.
Yeah, and even, I feel like even Pesci had a bigger part in Goodfellas.
Yeah.
He was definitely one of the.
Always plays second fiddle or whatever to Pesci or to Ray Liotta.
Yeah. What about that that Nancy Meyers movie, the Intern, where what's her name? Anne Hathaway is like a CEO, and they're like, oh, let's bring on some olds as interns. And it's like you know, like a retired De Niro comes in, and he, you know, he had run business in the past, and now he's like this intern for this, like, you know, like millennial run startup kind of thing. Anyway, I found him like super charming in that, and like, it's actually him like not being an asshole in a movie, which was nice.
Yeah, I want to bring up another one where he is, you guys ever see Silver Linings Playbook?
Mm-hmm.
That's where he's like obsessed with the sports, but you know, but then it's really like, oh, I want to get to know you, Bradley Cooper, my son. And he has that moment where he's crying, trying to tell him and stuff. And I was like, I don't think I've ever seen De Niro cry before. And it was very like, he nailed it. I was like, oh, De Niro, you know, shit like that. So he still got it in him. I was going to bring this up. I went to his IMDb page. And I think it might be because he works so much that we see him in so much stuff that it's easy to kind of take it for granted, I think. Yeah, because like, I think in 2011, he made like five movies or some shit. Like, the guy works all the time. So you said that De Niro could be replaced by someone. That's interesting, Dave. Al Pacino, is that who you want to replace him with, or what? Are you more a Pacino guy?
Al Pacino sometimes. I think, well, it depends on the style of movie. Like, to me, I love Jack Nicholson, and I feel like I could replace a lot of him. Like, I watching The Departed and like watching him, like Jack Nicholson in that, I'm just like, oh, if you took him and put him in like Goodfellas or Casino, like, I'm like, I think that would really make those movies awesome. I don't know. It's like, De Niro was great, I think, in the 80s and like to the early 90s. But I feel like after that, for me, it was just kind of like he petered out, where I felt like Jack Nicholas, is it Nicholas or Nicholson? He just kept getting better and had like great roles as he got older. But maybe I kind of checked out on him and stopped watching all of his stuff.
15 minutes. He's good in that. He plays a cop, and usually he's the bad guy, right? Like, how often does he play a cop, really? But he was, I liked him in that. Spoilers, he dies, and you just feel so bad for him because he was such a good person. And then the whole thing is like how they turn his death into a mockery and shit like that. So it's a very effective movie. Sorry for spoiling it for anyone, but it's a very good movie. And then I do have to mention his performance, although Heat. I love Heat. Pacino's all like, she's got a great ass and shit like that. He's chewing the scenery, but De Niro's so calm under pressure and stuff, and he's kind of channeling some Vito a little bit for me. So I do like that movie, and it helps with him there. Like, he's concerned for his crew. He's looking after Val Kilmer and shit, and he has to fucking kill that dude at the end and shit. I don't know. Like, he sells those parts. I'm gonna go with maybe Overexposure, Dave. Check out some classic De Niro.
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of similar to the Nicolas Cage, where it's like Nicolas Cage had some great movies, but then as time went on, it was so much bad stuff that you couldn't see the good stuff anymore. And I don't know that Nicolas Cage actually makes good movies anymore, does he? I don't know. I quit watching them because they kept being so bad. Like after Wicker Man, I just had to tap out. I'm like, sorry, man.
All right. Well, should we remove the mole from our face like De Niro should? And so sorry, I don't know what I'm getting at. I'm trying to find a segue
get a biopsy and see if there's any risk of melanoma.
end. Yeah, you don't want to procrastinate going to the dermatologist.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, that's the end of the show. Like, subscribe, comment. This was a Few Goldilocks Bears podcast with Vincent Cloud,
John Nemitz
and David Lauer.